pressure, 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 pressure systems just to make you falter. Say, Pastor, what are we getting at? I'm saying, you and I need to come to that place where we recognize that there is an issue and we need to decide what we're going to do. He says, because we call the sons of God, therefore, because we're called the sons of God, therefore, because we call the sons of God, therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, not tomorrow, now are we the sons of God. Now, this very moment, I am a son of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when we finally see Jesus face to face, we shall be like him. You'll find out when he shows up that you're exactly like him. A carbon copy of him, for we shall see him as he is. That is the key. When we see who Jesus is and recognize that this God who loved us with an everlasting love did not cave to the lies and the deceptive ways of the enemy. Oh, praise the Lord. He says we're going to be exactly like him. And every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that has the hope of seeing himself just exactly like Jesus is, seeing himself and recognizing, I have him inside of me. I'm a son of the living God, and I'm a perfect reflection of the one who's seated at the right hand of the Father. He says, everyone that has this hope in him, purify it himself. You purify yourself. You cleanse yourself even as he is pure. The righteousness that God, or the holiness that God calls us to, is not defined by what the world says. The standard is not the standard of Canada, or your culture, or your friends, the government. God holds us to a higher standard. He says, your standard is be ye holy as I am. Oh, I'm just human. Excuse me? No. If you're just human, then you're not the sons of God. You're a son of God. You're a child of the Most High God. And you're called to a higher standard. Hallelujah. You're called to a higher standard. You're called to be pure. Praise the Lord. You're called to be holy. I didn't know that the Lord was leading me to, right there, 1 Peter 1, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So be holy. Be pure, because I'm pure. Be like me. And God knows that in your own strength, you cannot be like him. So he extends his mercy first to forgive us our sins, but then he gives us his grace by coming and living inside of us. And Paul will say to us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. The anointed one and his anointing lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm living the God life by his faith. God is the one living through me. It is not my ability, it is His ability at work in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we together? You can do it. I can do it. I can live the God life. So look at what the Word of God says in verse 4. Whosoever, just in case we've not gotten the message clear, in verse 4 of 1 John 3 says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. You're transgressing against the law. It says, for sin is a transgression of the law. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. Pastor, what are you talking about? Huh? We're not under law. We're under grace. Well, go talk to John. John, don't be talking about. He didn't understand what grace is. John didn't go to the Paul school. Oh, wait a minute. Paul is the one who says, hey, now that I'm running this race, I want to make sure I'm doing it right so that I don't become cast away. He said it. The same Paul that you're saying, he's the one who taught us about grace. He's saying, I better keep my life straight, because if I don't keep it straight, I can end up and God will say, get away from me, I don't know you. Huh? Paul, don't you know grace? Yes, I'm talking to you about grace. You just don't understand what grace is. Grace is God's ability working in you and through you. And the Word of God says to us right here, He says, if you have the hope that you're going to be like Jesus, then you got to purify yourself. Go through the distillation process. The Lord began to speak to me about distillation. He kept on talking to me about distillation. And I remembered, my chemistry class in high school about the Bunsen burner. And we'll put salt in the water and then start heating it up, and the steam rises. It rises, and then it goes through a cooling system, and on the other side comes the distilled water. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that all that pressure that you're going through, pressure in your marriage, pressure in your finances, pressure at your workplace, pressure in your business, pressure, all of those things that you and I go through, all those pressure, there is a reason for it. So that you come to that place where the devil has nothing to hold on to. Because you have not quit. You've allowed yourself to go through all that pressure, all that heat. And on the other side, all that comes out is what is meant to be pure and clean. Through your trials and your temptations, the heat, the Bunsen burner heating your life, and all the debris, all the nonsense is left behind, and you come out. Or, as the vision was, you are like gold, but there are impurities inside, and it's heated up, and all the scum come to the top, scooped off, and what is left is the pure. You and I are going to go through stuff. But when you're going through it, understand why you're going through it. You are going through the process of proving that you are a son of the living God. That's why you're going through it. But you're not going to go through it by yourself. He will be with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, you're going through it. but I'm going to be there for you. I will help you. I will protect you. You know, the experience, I've shared many experiences with you through the years. And many times there are times I wondered, Lord, why did you let me go through this? I shared with you about the empty gas tank and no money in my pocket. I said, why did you let me go through that? Why didn't you just give me money already so I can drive my car and not have this problem, financial problem? Why? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, if I didn't take you through that, you will not have known that you can drive your car on empty for a whole week. That I could provide for you supernaturally. When I had no money. Oh, I don't like telling this story, but I wasn't really nice. I remember the day I knelt in front of my couch. We still have that couch recovered in our nursery, you might call that room. I'm kneeling there, and I said to God, I said, you're a bad businessman. You are a terrible bad businessman. Because all year long, I've been struggling financially, couldn't get paid. We don't have enough money. And it was Christmas coming. And I looked left and right. I said, I don't have any money to buy gifts for my children. And I turned around, I said, it's your fault. It's your fault. That's why I don't have money. You're a bad businessman. And I started blaming other pastors. I started calling pastors' name. I said, look at that pastor over there. You see him? That guy, I don't know what he's preaching, but he drives a Suburban, and he even buys Suburbans for his pastors. Huh? I don't know what he's preaching over there. Look at me. I'm preaching the truth, and I'm broke. You're a bad businessman. What are you? For 1 hour, I was complaining. Oh, God has mercy. If I were God, I would have killed me a long time ago. Shut up. No, God was merciful. Instead of asking me questions, after 1 hour, I kid you not, I was on my knees. I don't think I stayed on my knees that long, you know, but that day I was on my knees for 1 hour. I was so mad. I forgot that I was on my knees. Oh, man, I was hot. He said, so you're saying that I'm a bad businessman. I said, you heard right. What do you have to say about that? So he began to ask me questions. He said, how many people do you bring to your house every Sunday and you feed them? I said, about 12, 15 people who just come and we eat together. He said, okay. Where do you get the meat from? Because he asked me, he said, what do you feed them? I said, meat, fish, chicken. Where do you get it from? I said, from the freezer downstairs. Oh, so you go downstairs and you get meat from there and you bring it up to your wife and she cooks it. I said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. What does this have to do with anything? So he asked another question. While you were doing that, do you remember going to the grocery store this year to go buy meat or fish or chicken. Oh. But you serve people meat and fish and chicken every Sunday. I said, yeah. But you didn't go to the market to buy. I said, yeah. You say that I'm a bad businessman. I froze now. I say, oh my God, I put my foot in my mouth. See? It turned on me. All year long, God, while I'm taking meat or fish or whatever out of that freezer, God was busy filling it up. I'm taking out, He's filling it up. I take out, and He fills it up. Till this day, I don't have an empty freezer. I think God is still doing the same thing till now, as I'm talking to you. I have a son here who helps me over and over and again emptying my freezer. And after he empties it, I said, I come back. How? This thing is full again. Now I still go and buy, but somehow it's like I bring one and God brings another one. I think it's still happening. I have freezers up here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then I have freezers in the house. 5, 6, 7. In the house also. God is still, He's still making a point. I can provide for you. Don't take on any pressure. I can still provide for you. I can still do it. And I'm still doing it. And will continue to do it. Just trust in me. I will be your present help at the time of trouble. Is somebody hearing me? God is faithful. He is. He will not deny himself. He will not deny himself. I said to somebody not too long ago, I said, God doesn't hate you that much to lie to you. Because if he lies, he becomes less than the father of lies. Do you understand? God loves me, but God loves himself more. Yes, he loves himself so much that he cannot afford not to love me. He doesn't hate. And God is not practicing apathy. I don't care. No, he cares. He cares. And that's why he gave us his word. He says, you know that he was manifested. Jesus came to take away our sins. He came to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. There's no sin in him. But he came to take our sins. He did not put it in himself. He dumped it where it belonged. In the garbage. In hell. In Sheol. Gehenna. That's a garbage place where you burn all your garbage. He took it and he dumped it there. But he grabbed it from me. Says, this does not belong to you. Now, so when we live in sin, we are playing in the garbage. Or we are allowing the God of the garbage to come contaminate our lives. It's exactly what is happening. He says, whosoever abideth in him, if you stay in him, not visit, if you stay in him, he says, that person sinneth not. If you stay with God, he says, you don't sin. He says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him. You've not beholden him. And we shall be like him. When you behold him, you're getting changed into that same glory. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. If you are living in sin, he says, you've not known me. And the people that know God do exploits. Praise the Lord. This is how firm God is with this. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous compared to what? Even as he is righteous. Huh? No. You can't be as righteous as God. You can't be as holy as God. He says, hey, if you're doing holy things, righteous things, you're just exactly like me. Wow. Oh, now, I don't think we want to go to the next verse, because the next verse says, he that committed sin is of the devil. Is this in the Bible? He says, if you live in practicing sin, he says, you're of the devil. You, huh? Lord, you can't mean that. He says, you're committing sin, living in sin. He says, you're of the devil. Pastor, I sin every day. You mean I'm of the devil? Hold your horses. You are only of the devil, belonging to the devil, because you've allowed the devil to tattoo you with his name and remote control you. But if you've got the fight in you, you're not of him. I remember one day, a discussion that I had with the Lord. He said to me, he said, remember that guy? The guy who said that his name was Legion? I said, yes. Remember him? I said, yeah. What about him? He said, do you remember that they will put chains on him and he will break it? I said, yes. You remember he was busy cutting himself with stones? I said, yes. He said, do you know why he was doing that? I said, no, isn't it because he is demon possessed? He said, no. I said, what do you mean no? He's demon possessed, and so he had all this supernatural power, and he will break the chains, and then he will cut himself. He said, no. I said, so what was the reason? I wasn't ready for the answer. He said, every time he got chained and he broke those chains, he was saying, I cannot be under chains. I said, huh? He said, every time he caught himself while he was in the cemetery, he was saying inside of him, just like the hope of the tree, he was saying inside of him, dead people don't bleed. I must be alive. See? I said, no kidding. He said, yes. Yes. He cut himself. He saw blood. Even though in his natural mind, he was under captivity, he had a fight on the inside. And God sees the fight. The fight that you have to live right, even when you fall flat on your face, that fight, he looks at it and says, this guy doesn't want to live that way. I count that as part of righteousness for him, and I will help him. I will help him. I will help him make it. When you don't have fight inside of you and you just surrender to the mess and say, I guess I was made that way. Now you have a problem. This is how I was made. God did not make you that way. God never made you that way. God did not make you to live in sin and then come judge you for sinning. It is foreign to you and I. God created us holy unto him. When we got born again of the Spirit of God, we had the capacity established inside of us to live righteously, uprightly, live right. The reason we don't live right is because we've decided to default to what is easy. Just give up and live any which way. It is okay. I'm just human. I'm just a man. I was born and shaped in iniquity and in sin. Yeah, I came to take care of that. I was wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was bestowed upon me, and by the stripes that I bore, you are healed. I took care of it. I went to the cross to die, not so you can continue in sin. I went to the cross to make sure that mercy is extended to you and that my life comes into you if you accept that, and my grace will work in you and through you and help you to live right. I came to make you righteous. I came to make you holy just like me. I want to make you just like me. You're my child and you can live right. When you and I buy into that truth of God, the fight comes inside and say, that's not me. That's not me. I cannot be like that. And when you fall flat on your face, you get up and say, God, I receive mercy. I blew it. That's not me. Help me to do right. Help me to fight back and win. The word of God says a righteous man will fall, but he will rise up again. He falls 7 times. He'll get up, back up. Stop quitting. Well, this anger thing that I have, I guess it's my personality. No, it's not. My personality. It's not. God didn't create you an angry person. But listen to the word of God. It says, be angry and sin not. God didn't say, don't be angry. After all, Jesus waved some whip and went into the temple and weep. Can you imagine? Jesus is in the temple kicking tables down. Say, whoa, who's that angry man? Who's that? Kicking everything up. He said, don't stop pointing your finger at me and say, I'm an angry man. Listen, you guys made the house of God, which is meant to be the house of prayer, the den of thieves. I can't allow that. I'm here about my father's business, and you guys are coming here and making mess of my father's house. No way. That's not happening. Not here. Hallelujah. He says, I'm not the child of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning. He says, but wait for this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, was unveiled, that he might destroy. Somebody say with me, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sin.